You may not be shocked to hear that so many of our third, fourth, and fifth grade students are not on grade level or proficient in reading or reading comprehension. It is alarming, and in a way, we are their only hope for reading survival, as dramatic as that sounds. So today, I'm going to be wrapping up this reading comprehension series with diving into environmental factors and the impact that those factors have on reading comprehension, and then I want to offer ways to support your students. If you missed any of the previous episodes, I want to invite you to listen to episodes 167, 168, and 169. Episode 167 is diving into three bigger categories in which I have kind of grouped different challenges and causes of a lack of reading comprehension. And so I am talking about those three areas, which are going to first talk about the fundamental and the core foundational pieces of reading that might be lacking. And then the second is going to be having a focus on cognitive concerns, cognitive issues. And then the last big umbrella is going to be focused around the environmental and the emotional piece, which is what we are on today. So episode 167 is going to be that big overarching overview of those three categories and listing out all of the causes. Episode 168 is going to solely focus on the foundations and the fundamental aspects of reading. Episode 169 will only talk about the cognitive processes and the cognitive issues that students might be facing that is going to result in a limited or lack of reading comprehension. And then today, episode 170 is going to tie it all up for a close while we are focusing on these environmental pieces. So if you are ready to discover some real factors that rob our students of fully comprehending their text, let's dive in. Welcome to the Literacy Dive Podcast, a podcast for educators who want to take a deeper dive into all things reading and writing instruction. I'm your host, Megan, a true lover of all things literacy. Join me each week as we dive into teaching tips, engaging ideas, and actionable step-by-step strategies and examples to help you close the gap and lead confidently with best practices. I'm all about keeping things simple and digestible so that you can implement what you learn here as soon as tomorrow. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Literacy Dive Podcast if you're a returner, and welcome in if this is your first time being introduced to this podcast. No matter how you got here, I am so grateful that you are here. In the show notes, you are still able to access and grab that free context clues reading comprehension activity set that I put together for you, and you can grab that free resource at theliteracydive.com/contextclues, or you can go to the show notes and you can access that download along with any other links that are specific to these episode topics. Addressing environmental challenges that can severely limit reading comprehension involves creating supportive classroom environments and connecting with resources that are going to far span beyond the classroom. I want to offer you strategies and ideas that you will be able to implement that will help students overcome some of these barriers when focusing on their environmental factors. Now, I like to just kind of go ahead and paint out what this looks like. There are going to be socioeconomic factors that is going to play a part in their environment. And then there's also going to be some emotional or psychological factors that are going to be present potentially because of their environment. So I'm lumping those two categories together, those two causes together of why some students might have trouble with comprehending the text that they're reading. So starting with socioeconomic factors. You will want to make sure that you have access to books and materials and that your students can access these resources. You will want to ensure that they all have that easy access to a wide range of reading materials, both in class and at home, And you can do this by utilizing the school library, the classroom library that you might have built, and even the public library if it's going to stay in your classroom. I would not recommend that you check out books from the public library to send home with kids. I would only keep those within your possession of the classroom. But most city or town has a public library, and those instructions to getting a library card are very simple. It's just, it can be really overwhelming if you don't know what to do. So consider getting the one-page handout or the information that parents or grown-ups can be able to take in order to get a public library card. And that can be a great way where students can access not only books, but all types of multimedia. They can go there and use the computers. Some libraries even allow you to check out a laptop. They can go there and they can print. So there are just so many amazing free resources at the library. But if your parents don't know how to access it, just go ahead and try to get that information for them, making it attainable for your students to get access to those books at home. And there's also community resources that can be a help as well. Now, there are funds and grants that are available for teachers exactly in your position, but having access to resources will be something to prioritize for the needs of your students. You can begin a give one, take one mailbox system. And basically, this is where you can get the initiative started by adding some books to it of your own. A child will bring in a book and leave it in the pile or leave it in the mailbox. And then they will take a book that they're interested in. This is going to allow them to see different text and experience different genres and just to become exposed to reading and language and literacy in a very unique and hands-on way. This approach is so fun, and I have also seen it in communities. In my new community where I'm going to be moving to, there is a mailbox system right in the front, and I have seen families walking together on the trail to leave books in there and then borrow a couple of books to read either as a family unit or independently. But there are also bookstores that offer heavily discounted books. In Texas, I loved going to Half Price Books, and in Tennessee, I love going to McKay's. And I do believe that McKay's may have an online option. At some point, I know they did. I'm not sure if they do right now, but I will check for you. And if so, I will leave it in the show notes, because if you're able to access their database and you can get books that way, you definitely should take advantage. I got some really incredible titles over the years that were in excellent shape, and they were literally in excellent condition for literally just a few pennies. I mean, some books were 5 cents, some books were 10 cents, some books were 15 or 25 cents. And it's just incredible because these resources really do exist. And I would love to help brainstorm with you if you need help gaining access to books in your area. Another place that you can look is a Salvation Army or a Goodwill. They often have a book area, and it's really great to be able to go there and find some really amazing titles that you can bring into your classroom or that you can start putting into your mailbox that is going to be a give one, take one system. So that is going to be something that you really want to prioritize, is making these books and materials that will help bring this rich language and vocabulary to them, and you can literally watch them soar. I guarantee you, these students probably love reading, especially because if you don't have access to something when you get it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. So you really have a great opportunity to maximize this experience for them by just being a little creative, a little out of the box, but also just realizing that you can be able to make this big, massive impact, and it's not going to cost a lot of money, if any money at all. You also can think about community partnerships. This is where you will partner with local libraries or businesses and community organizations to provide students with books or tutoring and different enrichment opportunities that could be like some type of after-school program where different people will come and offer these experiences for students, or it really could be an enrichment in terms of maybe they're going on an actual field trip somewhere in the community and they can get that experience firsthand. And imagine what adding all of these experiences will do to their background knowledge, allowing them to apply that to their reading, their text, and just growing that comprehension. There are so many companies and organizations who are willing to partner with educators, especially because it might be one of their philosophies or it might be one of their platforms that they truly believe in. I know that my sorority, I'm in Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and we actually have an educational development component as one of our thrusts. So that just means that we are focused on finding ways to partner with anything related to education. So this could be schools, this could be community programs that are going to help with families. This could be donating or supporting in this educational area. During college, and I know that many grad chapters will do this as well, but during college, we have given money to different schools. We've done fundraisers. We have supported by giving that money to fund different fundraisers that they have or different needs that these schools have. We've put together literacy bags. We have also provided tutoring to students who would need it. And of course, it's going to be those who are well-versed in education or that have some type of degree. Even if they're in the engineering track, they can also, you know, work with higher students or like the high school or even the college level. So there's just so many ways that we are focused on community and wanting to give back and make a difference. And so there really are corporations and organizations out there who are looking to support. There's also corporations who are looking for tax write-offs. And honestly, they do support the initiative of teachers and school districts, and they are more than happy and willing to offer financial assistance to get books into the hands of students and to get other literacy resources into those households. It really comes down to just being innovative and sometimes stepping outside the box and outside of your comfort zone. And something that I learned and I live by now is one statement. The worst they can do is say no, but the best they can say is yes. So just ask, right? So if they say, nope, unfortunately, we can't do it, that's okay. No big deal. Guess what? If you don't ask, the answer is still no, because you're not going to get that funding. But if you do ask, guess what? They might just be like, wow, we were looking for a classroom or a school to fund or to sponsor. And you will be amazed with some of the things that I myself have been able to seek out for my classroom and for my families.
Ever wonder why students can't seem to retain those key vocabulary words? Is it a struggle to make vocabulary stick in your students' minds long after the quiz is over? Do you feel like you have run out of creative ways to teach new words? Well, I hear you, and the answer is here. A resource that weaves vocabulary development seamlessly into writing exercises. You can seriously watch your students' word knowledge and writing competence grow together effortlessly and enjoyably. It's truly the dual power approach that you've been waiting for. Enriching vocabulary while polishing writing skills. And now, my vocabulary writing prompts are offered by grade level. I know, it might sound too good to be true, but if you're curious to experience the transformation firsthand, I want you to grab a free sample compiled just for you. Ideal for 2nd to 6th grade educators, you can now try a tailored vocabulary writing prompt for each grade level. Witness the spark of interest and the growth in your students' writing abilities yourself. You can find this download in the show notes, but you could also head to theliteracydive.com/vocabulary and download your free sample today. Step into a new world where vocabulary learning is engaging, effective, and exciting. Do not miss out on this opportunity to revolutionize the way that you teach vocabulary.
And that brings us to family engagement. And this is engaging families in their children's reading development through hosting workshops or reading nights, literacy nights, some schools will call them, giving them resources that can help them support reading at home, regardless of their own literacy levels. I know that in some of our schools, and yes, we're Title I, so we do have some additional funding that can be used for these initiatives, but we have before been able to purchase subscriptions to different websites that families can be able to use at home. And it was literally one of the best things that have happened. So just being able to think about ways to involve the families is going to be really important. This was also really enlightening to me during COVID. I found out how beneficial it was to send resources and video examples home to parents because I wanted them to support me and what I was doing, all that hard work I was pouring into my students through a screen. I realized that many of these families do have the desire to want to help their children. They just don't know how or where to start with getting resources or understanding this content. So providing them with opportunities and resources is one way to get extra reading and comprehension support up and running at home. One thing to note is that this will be a little sacrificial on your end. I had to consider the time that I would host events. If I wanted to do like a little Zoom call just to kind of teach the parents a certain concept or to go over what's upcoming, I would have to think about their schedules if I wanted the max outcome and the max attendance. So I might have to be strategic on the days that I'm offering it, the times that I'm offering it, and how I offered that presentation. Because I would always have an in-person because I love that connection, but then also I could have a virtual option and I could have a pre-recorded option, which I could just walk through the presentation on my own, or I could just do a replay of that virtual session. So do these take effort and do these take time? Heck yes, absolutely. But there are ways to lighten the load by including others on your team or others within your school and pushing this initiative forward as a team. So I would just say you're better together, work smarter, not harder, and watch these students grow. Now we're going to move into the emotional or the psychological factors that could really have detrimental impacts on your students when it comes to their reading comprehension. So what can you do to just help them out if this is what they're facing? You can provide safe and inclusive environments for them. This is going to be where you create a classroom environment that is emotionally safe and inclusive, where students feel valued and respected. And ultimately, this is going to reduce the anxiety that they might feel, and it's going to improve their motivation. Having a morning meeting, even in upper elementary, helps to validate students' emotions and feelings, and it brings them a sense of community and family where they can be open and share and ask for help and also allow their efforts to be celebrated. This is so important because you want kids to feel comfortable reading aloud and sharing their answers to questions so that you can monitor their comprehension. If they are wrong and you have to guide them to the correct answer or offer just some really gentle correctional feedback, they should feel empowered even still and excited to learn the correction versus feeling embarrassed and targeted as if they'll never answer something again. Any way that you can remind students that it's okay to make mistakes, it will break a barrier for them in the biggest way. I have personally made several intentional mistakes just for bringing in that human nature of like, we make mistakes and it's okay. I would misread a page and then I would think aloud and just remind myself, it's okay to make mistakes. And I will state that. I will literally just say, oh, wow, I just skipped that whole page, or I just read all of those words incorrectly. I just need to go back to the part that I messed up and reread it so I can get back on track. And then I'll do that. And honestly, teaching those strategies like that are what they can be able to use and apply during their own independent reading time. So that is just a great way to model it by way of you making mistakes. Then there is that social emotional learning aspect, SEL, in which you will incorporate this into your curriculum just to help students develop that self-awareness, the self-regulation, and just those interpersonal skills, which ultimately can improve their emotional well-being and the state in which they come to your classroom, and that is going to help improve their readiness to learn. This SEL time that you can add into your classroom, it's a great place to embed some of those reading elements like fluency or vocabulary as well. So you can take a word and start doing a deep dive with it. Maybe it's the word courageous, and maybe that is going to be a new vocabulary word for your students. You can then have this vocabulary moment that's connected to an empowerment feeling that they can be able to feel whenever they're faced with something that's scary or new for the first time. They can be courageous. And then you can offer students a chance and opportunity to maybe state something that they want to be courageous for. And so it's building up that community, but it's also placing that vocabulary into that intentional space that you're holding in your classroom. Then for the fluency piece, you could do something so simple like writing out a powerful decodable phrase. Maybe it's going to be an affirmation. I can do anything. And depending, because we're in upper elementary, those are going to be words that they can easily decode or recognize. And so if you have that phrase, then you can have fun with this by having the kids connect that reading component of fluency, and they can begin reading this in different voices or different dialects with still holding on to that fluent flow of that sentence or that statement. So there are just so many things that you can do to support them in these areas, but it's really impacting two or three or four different parts that's going to make them who they are, which is going to be confident, willing to try hard things. So this emotional instability can really impact learning, and if we can figure out ways to affirm them and provide them with the tools that they need to manage their feelings and thoughts and emotions, they will be one step closer to being able to focus on reading and strengthening their comprehension skills. Then I have collaboration with school support staff. Work closely with school counselors, psychologists, social workers to provide support for the students facing these emotional or psychological challenges, ensuring that they receive the help that they need to succeed academically. They are accessible to help you. Many of them love what they do and they want to see children improve and succeed. And there's also a lot of support for these families to get groceries and to get just any type of resource or tool that they need to survive. I guarantee that it exists. And the people who are going to know are going to be those specialists in those fields, like the counselors, the psychologists. They almost, I feel like, make it a mission to find as many organizations or as many just buildings, locations, funds that can be able to support families or students who are in need. In addition to these strategies, it's just ultimately important that you advocate for policies and resources that address the broader socioeconomic and emotional challenges faced by your students. I know that you cannot do it all, and I am really not asking you to, but doing simple actions like providing a supportive, engaging, and resource-rich learning environment can help to mitigate these effects of the environmental challenges on reading comprehension and overall academic success for those students. You can play a crucial role in identifying students who need additional support or resources and connecting them with the appropriate specialist or services. That is all for today, but I want you to keep up the hard work that you're doing and remember that I am here as a support if you need anything at all. So until next time, keep diving into literacy.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Be sure to click that follow button so you never miss a new episode. And if you are enjoying what you hear, please consider sharing this podcast with a friend. Until the next episode, we can hang out over on Instagram at The Literacy Dive, and you can search The Daily Writing Disguise in your web browser to dive into a stockpile of creative writing activity collections created by me with student engagement in mind. For literacy resources and support, you can search The Literacy Dive on TPT. I'll catch you in the next episode.